So we have been studying the pastoral epistles, and we are on the last one, Titus, on the second chapter. And we're on chapter 2, verse 1. But you must say the things that are consistent with sound teaching. Older men are to be level-headed, worthy of respect, sensible, and sound in faith, love, and endurance. In the same way, older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not addicted to much wine. They are to teach what is good, so they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be self-controlled, pure homemakers, kind and submissive to their husbands, so that God's message will not be slandered. In the same way, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, make yourself an example of good works with integrity and dignity in your teaching. Your message is to be sound, beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be ashamed, having nothing bad to say about us. Slaves are to be submissive to their masters in everything and to be well-pleasing, not talking back or stealing, but demonstrating utter faithfulness, so that they may adorn the teaching of God our Savior in everything. For the grace of God has appeared with salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lust and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. Say these things and encourage and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We'd ask you to bless us as we study it. Help us to learn from it and to do better when we're out in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it starts out talking about older people, which, of course, makes me nervous.
But we have old guy.
Yeah, that's true. Older men are to set an example for the young men. Older women are to be guides for the younger women. This is a teaching that is kind of based on Jewish teaching, where that you always learn from your elders. You know, Jewish people were not considered to be adults until they were 30. Women were, because women don't count anyway. That's the way they looked at it. I'm not saying they don't count anything. But you'd have a bar mitzvah at 15, and that means that you're entering into the congregation. But you're actually an adult when you get to be 30. So men married in their 30s, and women generally married in their teens. And so when they talk about younger men and younger women, they're actually talking about different age ranges here. Younger women should take care of their households. Once again, this is a cultural kind of thing. Women are there to take care of their households, and to take care of their children, to have lots of children. When you read in the Psalms, you see that they talk about that many sons are like arrows in your quiver and all this. So you want tons of kids. Ladies may not have been really, you know, on board with this. But at any rate, it says this will bring them respect from the outsiders. They see that they are acting in the way that the culture says they should act as young wives, younger men should be self-controlled. In other words, they shouldn't just be, you know, bing, 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 ricochet rabbit, going from thing to thing to thing. They shouldn't be getting into mischief. They shouldn't be getting into fights and stuff. They should be under control. And it says that Titus should just demonstrate all these things as well, because he's a young guy. Then outsiders will have nothing to complain about. They won't be able to say, oh, look, the Christians are acting a fool, because hopefully they're not. And then we get into something that's very controversial, but as we look at it, we think of it in terms of what was the culture then, what is the culture now, and what was God trying to get across to us? And that's slaves. Slavery was a practice that they had. It started out where that you could sell yourself to somebody for a period of time, usually 7 years, and you would get money to get yourself out of debt. And, of course, the person who bought you is getting free labor, but he has to feed you, he has to take care of you. Then they started giving them wives, or the slaves who were women started being given to people. And they're going, oh, and the Bible says you're not, you don't, if you come in without a wife, you go out without a wife. But if you say, I don't want to do that, I want to keep my wife, then you can get your ear pierced at the door frame, and you're now a slave of this person forever. One of the things, I think, they're warning them, because they're saying, if your master is good and treats you well, then you may want to do this. If he's not, if he's a real hemorrhoid, you may want to say, okay, 7 years, and I'm out of here. You know, and your wife may not like that, because she's not going with you. But, you know, then again, eventually she'd probably get out of there, and maybe you can get back together again later. But it says that they should be submissive and well-pleasing. Now, what we're doing here is we're seeing slaves as a type of our relationship to God. We are the slave of Jesus Christ. And so we should be submissive and well-pleasing to Jesus. It says, do not talk back or steal, but demonstrate faithfulness. Many places throughout the Bible, it talks about that faithful slave that his master will find to be trustworthy, and the master will promote him, and he will give him more responsibility and so forth. And this is what you want to be. Don't steal. Don't talk back. Be faithful. This enhances the teaching of Jesus, for grace is for everyone. Now, this is an interesting thing. You have the power of grace, and we're demonstrating it by slavery. Now, once again, this is a different kind of slavery than we think of in the United States. This is not go capture somebody in the backwoods of Africa and bring them here and decide they're not even human and treat them badly. This is sell yourself into it, or get yourself into it for some other way. Sometimes they would get into it because they were in terrible debt, and they would say, okay, I can't pay you, I'll be your slave. Whatever, but which is once again a type of our relationship to Jesus. I couldn't pay for all this. I'm not going to be able to pay for my sins, so I'm your slave. The power of grace is just incredible. It teaches us how Christians should live. He talks about the fact that when you look at the grace of God, you almost automatically feel how you should act. What should I return for this? We should reject godlessness and worldly lusts. Don't go out and be a slave of the world. Go out and be a slave of Jesus. We should pursue godliness and righteousness while waiting for Jesus. Now, once again, if you read through the New Testament and the epistles and Acts and all these things, they thought he was coming next month. And here we are 2,000 years later. But Peter says, a day with God is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. Just time does not apply to God. He's waiting for just the right number of people to come in. And we don't know what that number is. Jesus gave himself to redeem us and to create a people for himself. When the time comes that we go to the judgment, our judgment consists of nothing more than Jesus saying, "That's one of mine. He's in." We won't actually get judged. We'll just show up and he'll say, "See there? It's in the book. He's in." He has redeemed us. He has created a people for himself, and we need to act like we're the people of Jesus. And he tells Titus, say these things with authority. Don't take any guff from anybody. Don't let people put you down. Yes, you're a young guy, but you've been trained. You've been ordained. You've been called of God. Don't let people tell you that you're not good enough or you're too young or any of that old stuff. So what does this mean to us? First of all, older people should be teachers. Now, some of us are kind of in that mid-level where we're about to make the changeover, but others like myself are supposed to be the old guy who's teaching people how to be. I have often said that I thought it was kind of silly that the people in IT didn't want me because I was old. Because I would say, you know what? I am the person who knows something. You're going to beat your head up against a wall for something I beat a decade ago. But you don't want me around because you're young and you're trained and you're so much better. And that's why Paul is telling these people, old people should be teachers. Young people should have enough sense to listen to those old people because they know something. They've been through stuff. Okay? Younger people should be learning. They should be the students of the older guys. That's why old guy's always picking on me. You know, he told me I'm finally an adult because I got to be 70. But young guys should not be disrespected. We don't look down on them and say, oh, you're too young. I'm this old person and I'm up on a pedestal and you just must cater to me. No. There are people who have gone out and have trained themselves. And once again, it's less us than it is God. God calls people to be what they are. God calls women to be teachers of young women, or maybe young women to be teachers of children, or whatever. And he calls men to be teachers of young men, and the younger ones to be teachers of the younger than them. But we don't disrespect each other for our ages, because each of us have a different experience. What he's telling Titus is, you need to learn your place. There are people here who can teach you things because they have been through. They may not be able to do a lot because they're old, but they know stuff. And before they go away, you need to get that out of their head and into yours. We don't want to lose this. The part about slaves, as we said, is for illustrative purposes. We need to learn how slaves act because we need to learn how to act towards God. We have to take that attitude that I can't redeem myself, therefore I have to be your slave so you can redeem me. We should be slaves to God and Jesus. We should think of ourselves that way. We must remember grace and all it teaches us. There are a number of parables that Jesus taught about people who had been given grace and then didn't extend it to anybody else. Or people who were not given grace who did extend it. Jesus said, if you extend grace to people, then when other people treat you badly, there will be people who will want to take you in and take care of you. We received grace. We need to give grace to those around us. We need to reject the world and pursue Jesus. Now, a lot of people think that that means like being monasticism or whatever. But what it means is what Paul said, be in the world but not of the world. You can't get out of here till you die. But you don't have to be of this. You can stick with what Jesus teaches and pursue Jesus, because we want to be the people that Jesus was creating for himself. And if we can do that, then we have fulfilled our purpose in life. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us in all we do. Help us to be good servants. Help us to show grace to everybody that we meet, and help us to be submissive to you and to those who are older than us who can teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for being here, guys.
You'll take easy.